korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. It's going to be a great show. I got Tyler Smith with me.
Yo.
The Marine, now the actor.
Yes.
The wrestling coach, the brown belt in jiu-jitsu, the man of many things with no actual real jobs.
Amen.
Also, I got my man, the Ween Dog, with me.
What's up, dude?
Love this dude. And Mayhem Miller is running a little late. He should be here in like a minute or two. We got a great
we'll
show.
See.
We got Tatiana Suarez calling in.
Very nice.
Number three fighter in the world.
Oh, she's a badass.
Undefeated. National champion wrestler. I think she's a third in the world in wrestling at one point. And David Michaud.
Oh, nice.
Fighting on New Year's Eve for $1 million. Mm-hmm. He's got to win one fight. He's got to win Ray Cooper the third. He gets $1 million. I want to thank Speedweed for sponsoring our show. They are awesome. They're giving us this studio. They're good people. And listen, marijuana is legal in California.
Yes,
CBD,
it is.
CBD, you get it delivered right to you. You get pizza delivered. You get Chinese food delivered. Get weed delivered. You go to a dispensary, it's a pain in the ass. And it's a speed trap. Guys are waiting for you to actually leave. They can pull you over, and you're there. These hot bud tenders are like, hey, try this, try that. Next thing you know, you're stoned, and now you got a DUI. All right, so
no bueno.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, make sure you check out Speedweed. Mention Roasted. MMA Roasted, you get $10 off, $100 or more. And Gino came to my show last week. Gino's a great guy.
Nice.
Gino
was awesome.
Speaking of accidents, so I was in Vegas, and I was like, I'm going to go to the 9 o'clock a.m. Extreme Couture boxing class. I'm like, I'm going to go. You know, so I go there. The instructor's great, but I'm with this guy. It was a little frustrating because when you go with a kid who – the only thing worse is someone going with someone who doesn't know that much. Someone who doesn't know that much and then wants to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, he's obviously doing it wrong.
That's me.
And then – so this guy I went with was like – it was like, he was like holding the pads, but like holding them totally wrong.
Yeah.
Which could like mess up your foot.
It can mess up a lot of stuff, yeah.
Like if you hit pads and the guy's not holding it on the side like this, you could like really screw up the bone. I think you can at least because it hurts a certain way.
It'll hurt.
And then I'm supposed to like kind of light kick him and like the leg. And I'm going like real light. And he's jumping out of the way. And I'm like, dude, I swear I'm not going to really kick you. He's like, well, I'm just pretending this is a real fight. I'm like, no, we're not in a real fight. I'm probably not going to go for a low kick in a real fight anyway.
Yeah.
And just calm down. So that was a little bit annoying, you know, but whatever. I paid, you know, whatever the fee to get to the gym. I give the guy my license. And then I leave, and I forget to take my license back.
Oh, no.
No, I realized that when I got pulled over by a cop for, I don't know, I was some weird driving. I don't even know what I did. I was like...
Vegas fucking sucks for driving, man.
I, like, didn't yield 100%, and I just went on to the highway. I get pulled over. I think because I'm texting, and I'm like, so then I switched it, like, I was barely texting. So then, like,
only a little bit texting. So
I was just like the first letter.
I was writing K, you know? So yeah. Then the guy comes, like, hey, you know, I pulled over. I'm like, sorry, sir, I was actually on my ways, yada, yada. And he's like, no, you didn't yield. I'm like, what? He goes, let me see your license. And then I go, and my license isn't there. And I'm just like, oh, it's at it's at Extreme Couture at the gym. And he was not caring. I was dropping this name. So then the guy, I'm like, all right, he's not really going to give me a ticket for this. Because I don't know what. He comes back, gives me two tickets, not license and moving violation on a thing. And I'm just like, come on, sir. I already have enough points. My license, please. He's like, that's a you problem, not a me problem.
Wow.
And then he gives
dick.
Me, maybe you should drive better. And then like a 10-minute speech. And then he goes, have a nice day. I was like, ugh.
How much are the tickets for?
I don't know what they're for. But
a couple hundred bucks.
I just beat
probably.
A traffic ticket.
But the have a nice day, I was like, that was the one that really. So then I was like, I wanted to just be like, I go, you have a better day, sir. And then he's like, because I figured the guy's not going to get mad at me for actually like complimenting him.
Yeah.
You know? So then he goes, no, you have a better day. I'm like, no, you have the best day ever, right? So then now we're like topping each other with like compliments.
Did you give him tickets to your show?
He was like, thank you. And I go, no, thank you more. And then the guy finally walked away after like 12 compliments. And I was, so now I got to get a lawyer. in Vegas. Dude. Yeah, so that was...
I mean, at least you're there a lot. It's not like one of those like, oh, I was on a bachelor party trip and got a ticket. Now I have to go back to Vegas. Like,
are you going to fight them? Or
I'm going to get a lawyer who's going to go to court for me. And supposedly, I mean, I just can't get the points because I can't lose my car insurance.
You can beat a traffic ticket without even going to court at all. That's what I did. You do a trial by written declaration. You just like write a letter and send it to the courthouse, and then the judge orders the cop to send his letter, and the judge reads both letters, and he determines if you're innocent or guilty. And that's what I did that for, like, not stopping all the way at a stop sign. And I got out of the ticket. It's like a $300 ticket. I had to pay nothing.
What did you write?
You know, just...
I did stop all the way at the stop sign.
I did.
That's all his letter said.
OJ is guilty. I'm innocent. And no. Then I got off.
And then you were like, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill
himself. Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah. Epstein didn't kill himself. I'm innocent. But yeah.
So that was the beginning. The shows were actually great. Like, I had shows. Chael Sonnen came to my show.
Cool.
And then nice. Actually, and Ryan Couture. And I said Ryan's dad would be here, Randy, but he couldn't find a babysitter for his girlfriend. And then Chael, I told the story about how, like, when Chael called me up, like, the night, it was like 5 years ago, right before he fought Vanderlei Silva. And he's like, Adam, I got popped for something. What should I do? He's like, I went all in. And I'm like, first of all, why are you calling me? I'm a comic doing the Comedy Cave in Cali. Like, how many people did you call before me? What number am I on this list? Mm-hmm. And then he's like,
17.
Well, so I told him, I said, listen, just say that you know there's a steroid problem in the UFC. Sometimes in order to catch a criminal, you must become one.
Yeah.
So you did steroids to find out what people were doing. You went undercover, and he was dying laughing. I told that from the stage. People didn't really laugh. They looked like I was, but he was laughing. So that was cool.
That's funny, dude.
He said his girlfriend was
did it work?
Ear. Yeah. No, he didn't say that. Actually, I was waiting the next day at the press conference. But he came to the show. It was fun. Rashad Evans came.
I saw that.
And
yep.
I said, I go, Rashad's so old. He actually, the first time he cut weight was when he missed the Last Supper. It was good. It was, Vegas was great. And it was fun. How was your week? What's going on with you?
Well, dude, I'm in a tough spot right now. Just got done with a semester of college. Only have one left. No, so now I'm able to come and be on pretty much every episode from now on until the semester starts.
Yes.
Awesome. Which I think I'll still be able to come. But it's hard, dude, because I'm 23. I'm going to be 25 soon. I'm going to be off my
24,
dad's.
24, you mean?
Well, a couple years.
23 going on 25, dude.
All right, go on.
But that because I'm going to be kicked off of my dad's insurance.
Yeah. I thought it was still 26.
It's 25. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's 25.
Sucks to be you.
Okay.
And I'm going to be living on my own now. My dad's moving out. And, you know, he's not going to be making me food anymore, doing my laundry, doing my clothes.
Good.
You know, ironing my stuff.
So Wait, your dad's moving out?
Yeah, my dad's moving out.
You're not moving out?
No, I'm staying.
So you're, okay. you're keeping the
so
house?
You're kicking your
it's
dad out?
It's an apartment. So, yeah, he's moving in.
So he's finding a new.
Who's paying the rent still?
Well, he's gonna pay for rent, but it's like I don't know how to make this transition, dude. I'm kind of freaking out. I'm used to just like taking the easy road.
So dude, I'll come over. I'll be a live-in Manny.
Okay,
$1,000.
I like that. You might see some weird stuff, but
whatever.
You know, no questions.
It's gonna be worth it.
I'll do weird stuff for money, dude.
Maybe CB can move in. Oh, but he's married.
That's a great
CB
idea.
CB does need a job.
Him and his wife. It's a two-bedroom apartment.
So wait, your dad's moving out. Yeah. He's still paying the rent, and you're worried because of making food?
I've just never lived on my own before. I'm kind of scared.
You know they have microwave meals, right? Like all the instructions are right there on the box. You just flip it over and it tells you exactly.
You're gonna
what
be
to
fine.
Do. Like you
First
can't
all,
fuck it up.
And now with your girlfriend, it'll be much better now because your dad won't be home. So
does she know how to cook?
No, I've never even cooked anything for myself like ever. I only go to Taco Bell for like almost every single meal, dude. It's like a block away from my apartment. And so I'm just wondering, like, do you remember when you first moved out on your own?
Yeah, I was like 19. Yeah, I was 18.
I was 19.
Oh, shit.
I was 18.
I didn't even 17. Yeah, I was dude, you're 23.
17?
Yeah, I was at the college. I went away to college.
Dude, I was 15 and my parents told me you're going to be ready to move out when you're 18.
That's normal.
That was what they told me.
But didn't you join
and
the
I
army?
And I wasn't, but I did anyway.
Well, you joined the army, right?
No, I was on my military? Own for a year and change.
First of all, your dad's still paying your rent, so which is like kind of ridiculous, but at the same time, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine.
Also, I just I got on the Cash App. I'm on Venmo. If any like millionaire MMA roasted fans out there, go on Venmo. It's my username is Weendog. I think on the Cash App, it's the Weendog. Just feel free to donate. It's the holiday season. You know, I'm freaking broke. I need Taco Bell money. I need to buy shit for myself for these deals. You know, I buy a new monitor.
Tyler, how you doing before I throw up?
I'm doing all right. I'm sick. I've been sick for
great, awesome
for like the last week or something. I have a charity BJJ event tonight. My buddy is doing a 24-hour roll-a-thon.
Oh, is it? Where, who's it?
His name's Clinton Harris.
Okay.
He's a black belt. I forget who he has a black belt from, but there's going to be a bunch of people there. It's at 10th Planet, West Hollywood.
Yep.
He's doing 3 minutes on, 2 minutes off for 24 hours.
Wow. Straight. This guy's got the best cardio
so
ever.
So I'm signed up in the.
Why are you laughing?
That's just funny.
Yeah, I'm signed up in the 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. bracket, and there's three of us.
Just doing. You're rolling for three so hours today.
10. Four. Yeah, 4 hours. 10 to 2.
Oh, 10 to 2, yeah.
Three of us just going in with him. So he's doing the whole, 24
and
hours.
And,
we're
and
just
who's making money?
Out.
How is he raising money?
He just did, a GoFundMe or a donate thing on Facebook, yeah.
And how, well, now what if, Gary Tonin shows up or something?
Which I should be promoting on this, but I don't.
What if somebody shows up and just wants to kick the guy's ass? Isn't he going to be wiped?
Oh, it'd be great, dude. I mean, he's going to be wiped the whole time. He's already been going. He started at 10 o'clock, so he's been going for 2.5 hours already, 3 hours. And it's like, even that is in itself rolling for 3 hours.
Hold on, Mayhem
is
calling in. Mayhem, what's up, buddy?
Is he back in jail?
What the fuck? The place is all locked up.
Okay, we'll have somebody come to the side and get you.
The side?
Yeah, the side.
Gotcha. Yeah, the first entrance we came in, the very first time, the gate, the all rolling right. gate.
Okay.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, the back.
Adam,
yeah.
It's locked. No. What do I do?
Am I the only one that looked at it and went, oh, I'll just try going around?
Yeah, that's no, I did that too. Since that's, we've been living on our own.
Yeah, exactly.
17 years old.
I was about to go home right then. I was like, it's locked. I'm going home. Sorry, guys.
Oh, well, that's good. All right. That's cool. I like that. I couldn't imagine going 4 hours of rolling. I do 10 minutes and I'm wiped.
Yeah. The most I've done is maybe 2.5 straight, but that was an MMA practice. So yeah. It wasn't just straight jiu-jitsu every 5 minutes with a different person, All it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how he holds up.
Good for you, man. Good for you. So we're going to talk to Mayhem. He should be here in 2 seconds. I got some funny stories. He came over and helped coach the kids. You were there.
Yep.
Yeah. And actually, the kid from Chechnya tried to fight him. He was going 1,000%. And Mayhem's like, I'm in a fight now.
Yeah. That's
hilarious.
Just straight, went as hard as he could. This 13-year-old, 14-year-old kid.
Where is he? Is he here? He's peeing? Okay.
He's peeing.
All right. So... And by the way, and also I did a show with Eddie Bravo. Eddie Bravo hits me up. He's like, hey, I heard you're performing in Vegas. Want to come watch your set? I'm like, I don't really know Eddie Bravo. I'm like, sure, man. Why not? I go, you want to go on? He's like, I'd love to. So he went on before me. He did really good. It was awesome.
Nice,
nice guy.
Get him on the show, dude.
Yeah, I mean, what a you could talk to that guy about anything.
Yeah.
He's one of these
dude.
Guys that like.
We could do an MMA conspiracies.
I mean, anything.
Episode with Eddie Bravo.
But he's just one of those guys that has such life experience that. You could talk to that dude about any.
He's done all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
He was there when he gave me my blue belt.
Really?
Him and Jared, I was having a panic attack. I'm like, it's Eddie. I'm like, oh.
Really?
Yeah.
How does it work? Does he still teach classes?
Well, he teaches at headquarters.
Yeah. Do you have to be a certain level to take his class or something? Or is he teaching fucking beginner shit?
No. The reason why he was at, because I go to 10th Planet Burbank. The reason he was on promotion night is because Jared was promoting four or five brown belts to black belts.
Oh, Mayhem is here. He's just walking in. The man, the myth, the legend.
Los Angeles.
I know, right? Dude.
So speaking of Eddie Bravo.
Speaking of Eddie Bravo.
Because he actually.
I didn't hear anything you guys said up to this point.
Nobody did.
Well, jump
blind, blind, guys.
Jump in, bro.
Here I am.
Eddie was saying, because Eddie hit me up in Vegas and was like, hey, man, here you're performing. I want to come see you. And then he did a guest set.
Awesome.
And I was saying how you're doing great and all that. He said that you brought the darts over to 10th Planet.
Yeah, in a way. But it's a funny thing because. It's not like I made up that move, or not even Joe D'Arcy, who I named it after, made up that move. It was a move before. It just wasn't a normal thing on the West Coast. So when I was in training camp with Phil Baroni, we just I rolled with Joe D'Arcy over there in Long Island, and then he just kept catching me in this thing that I'd never seen, really. I had been all over, the South, Atlanta, in North Carolina, where I started out, and I'd seen tapes and then I was on the West Coast and everybody was really heavy with triangle chokes and with, this type of technique. But it wasn't until I got over there and rolled with D'Arcy that he just kept finding that move everywhere.
Seems pretty obvious, that move. I mean,
it seems obvious, but at the time, you got to remember, I mean, this is a long time ago, that, you know, there wasn't, you know, there was a deep division between wrestlers mm-hmm. and jiu-jitsu back then. Now, of course, you take it for granted that a lot of wrestlers, like, do jiu-jitsu and vice versa.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. But back then, it was like, if you're a jiu-jitsu man, you just do these techniques. And if you're a wrestler, you just do these techniques. So I was like, you know, we adapted so many different techniques from different arts. It was really interesting back then because we were like just flying by the seat of our pants creating.
But it seems like, well, like the front headlock, the guillotine,
yeah.
the Doris, they're
yeah,
all
yeah, but
very
you come from wrestling
right,
world.
Right,
yeah. And I saw nationals like, you know, like right after the Doris, right after I was like kind of transplanted that over to Vegas and to L.A., and started like
so
just
you named it the Doris after the guy who showed you
I can't you know all art is a collaboration so I take credit for it but really is me and Mark Layman. See, Mark Layman at the time was such like, you know, he just was like the ultimate jiu-jitsu nerd.
Yeah.
And I was like one of his lackeys, like kind of like I was like, yeah, I'm a jiu-jitsu nerd too. And we just totally, you know, we watch tapes of like even other arts before YouTube. Like we were getting tapes from all over the country and like watching different.
I remember
like,
watching old wrestling tapes and my sister and her friends were like, "The fuck is wrong with you?"
Yeah, I know.
Like, yeah,
with
yeah.
the dudes with the high socks on.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. I know that one. Yeah, and I learned like my first like I hit a damn fireman's carry in like I don't know in high school. Without the coach telling me how to do it, I in the library at my school, it was like a 1950s wrestling book.
like the fucking dudes, illustrations
yes,
and
the
shit?
Dudes,
oh, dude.
And I mean, it was so awkward, two scrawny white guys displaying the technique, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, you know, like now everything's all Hollywood. Everybody got Instagram filters. But back then, it was just like a black and white photo of two dorks.
No, but Eddie said that you went to his practice and caught everybody in
yeah.
the class with the Doris.
See, because
and
the
then they were like, "We gotta implement
like, what
this
the
into
hell is
our."
This? Yeah.
Well, because like the Doris is like an excellent counter offensive for Eddie Bravo's, you know, 10th Planet style.
Yeah.
Because you know they're always doing lockdown, they're always doing things, and they're always doing you know
like deep half,
doing the deep half, so they're giving it to you. And my feelings on it is that when. When you got the top position, you know, you're advantageous because you got gravity on your side. So if you like, you know, my technique for fighting a guy who's a bottom fighter, a guy who's like good at doing bottom stuff, is like, okay, just take your time, go like, you know, use your whizzer to stop him from getting to your back, mm-hmm. and then try whenever you can to overhook his head and then try guillotine. So you go guillotine. You go guillotine, and then he, you know, pulls his head out, and you go Doris. Yeah. And you go guillotine, and then you go Doris. And you keep doing that until the guy gets kind of worn out. And then usually I would, like, find a path to either get to his back or get, you know, get his neck. Yeah, he's just like, you know, it's like chipping away. You got to chip away at a guy's neck. Like, you can't just, you know.
Yeah, you don't just grab onto it.
A dude who's good at jiu-jitsu, you know, I mean, he's going to have a tough neck. Hey, if he's done it for a long time, he's going to have a tough neck. So you can't just. You know, the magic of jiu-jitsu is like, oh, yeah, you just grab a submission. But the reality is you got to chip away at his, you know, stamina before you go ahead and grab on that.
Yeah.
So, I love talking about jiu-jitsu. I just realized.
No, it's absolutely. No, oh, no. Mayhem came over and helped coach the kids.
Oh, that was great.
Which was a lot of fun. And it was funny because I was showing a move. I was basically showing, you know, when you break a guy down, you take his arm and you put him in a, you know what I'm saying?
Police thing?
Yeah.
You're getting arrested,
Yeah.
And he's
under arrest.
He was just scoring real
put
big with
arrest.
The kids. So like,
and then I was
Mayhem, you probably know this one. Like, yeah. Real funny. The most painful part of my life, you're just going to tell to a bunch of eighth graders.
I'm like,
thanks,
you're a cop and you're under
the most
arrest.
Ruthless
real
group
good
of people
friend.
On earth.
So that you were laughing.
Yeah.
You were laughing.
I know. I'm just joking. I'm just breaking
the balls. Then we go inside, right, after the practice. And like my wife So with the Amazon boxes everywhere.
Bro, like, not just, bro, it's a fire hazard. Yeah. Like, I mean, she is a very generous woman, and Adam's doing a lot better than we thought, because I'm talking Jeff Bezos just bought a condo on Adam's purchase, on Adam's wife's purchase alone, bro. I'm talking Amazon box. It looked like a distribution center. I thought, like,
he's not kidding. Like, the Amazon guy looks at me and he's like, "I'm sorry." Every time he's like,
"No, I'm signing for packages," and I just walking out to get my damn cup, you know.
So that he goes. But Bree goes, "Mayhem says it's a fire hazard." And I'm like, I'm in the bathroom.
Mayhem says
I go,
that.
I go, he would know since he was in a church with a fire extinguisher.
God damn, this dude is just rehashing his old, yeah, he's playing his best hits today. Jesus.
That was fun. And then we went to a club that night. So we go to a club.
Yeah, we did.
Because we go to the Laugh Factory, watch the fights. It was a great day. And then we go to the Laugh Factory, and then he goes out with my friend Ahmed Ahmed. I knew they would hit it off.
Ahmed Ahmed is that's a comedian, a comedian's comedian. So, he's a wild man.
So then we go out, but he's also one of these guys that has to always show you a good time. Like, he always has to, like, get first round.
Let me tell you, this dude was going off. Like, that dude was going hard in the motherfucking paint. He was going like a man who just came back from Southeast Asia. I was a little bit worried for him. I was like, I felt like his security detail, me and Adam, we are middle school wrestling security detail. Just shooting single legs on bouncers. We're trying to stop this guy from drinking and driving.
And then just staying there.
And he can't just tell you something. He has to be like, even if it's like, what time is it? He has to get you to huddle over and like.
No, I know. Yeah. I felt
everything's
like
a party, right?
It's some Middle Eastern love right there. Yeah, so it's like some type of dude, like, everything's got to be like, you're right about that. Like, why are we huddling? To talk about the time.
So we're at a club. We're the oldest people there. I mean, everyone there is like 21, 22, you know, young, like hot. But Mayhem, Mayhem was dancing.
Bro, I tend to get down. I was feeling good. I was feeling, it's like the first time
I've been to a nightclub. Like the Pride walkout dance?
Yeah, exactly. Like thousands of years ago.
Night at the Roxbury.
It was.
Everybody was pumping me up. They're like, Mayhem, dance. And I'm like... Oh, okay.
What you want love? Me to dance? You said that was the first time you danced in how many years?
I don't know. Like 10, it feels like. I don't know. I left my damn shoes smoking on the dance floor. That's all I know.
But it was funny because, like, Ahmed was saying him and Vince Vaughn were best friends. They're still best friends. And he was saying how people go up to Vince and be like, "Hey, Vince," and just annoy him. And then Ahmed would be the guy to be like, Vince would look at him and be like, "Hey, man, you got to back up." So then I go, "You're not going to win this battle." He goes, "Yeah, I was with Joe Rogan one time, and some guy, they were like, 'Mayhem, got him away.' So I bit the guy's face."
No, his hand. I shook his hand and was like, "Yo, bro." And then I like bit like three of his fingers with my teeth and just like smiled and walked him out slowly. Yeah. That was good. It was like a complicated priceless strategy, but it's simple. So because it was jokingly biting his hand, but really now I've got your fingers in my teeth. So if you really want to get weird,
I was like,
Mayhem's gonna
win every game of like Never Have I Ever. You know, like,
oh God, don't! I knew you're. You know what? You're a lose? Bright guy. Lose, huh? Never lose have it? I ever. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was cool, and then that was fun, and then before you got here, Joe said he's actually his dad's moving out. This is the first time he's been on his own.
Don't tell Mayhem that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's gonna come live.
Embarrassing.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh come
on. Well, what's the matter?
He's gonna need a roommate.
Listen, this guy breaking my balls for 15 minutes, and you can't take your dad moving out.
An emotional moment in my life. I'm graduating college. I'm gonna be
your dad is moving out of
my apartment. Yeah.
Oh, so why has he been living there?
He's my support, you know.
His emotional
What's
support
up,
animal.
What's up, you going to be worried? You need a roommate?
I'll be legendary. Do you want to move in? Two-bedroom apartment? I got a cat. I got a dog.
Now that's a show.
We'll talk out. We'll talk out.
Mayhem Miller, life coach.
Yeah.
Mayhem and Ween Dog.
Sitcom waiting to happen.
Oh, my God. The Odd Couple fucking goes.
Or a horror movie. Either way. So let's talk about the fights, okay? Because they're this week. All right. So I was at the fights.
I know, I was like... kind of jealous.
I would have taken you.
I know you would have. You offered me, but you know, my probation officer had some things to say about that.
Yeah. Well,
I just don't, you know, I want everything to be straight before.
No, don't be many other fights we can go.
I know, yeah.
So, Colby Covington, first of all.
Are we just going to jump right into it?
Jump right into it.
Let's
go.
The Colby Covington, listen, Did you think he was going to come out like that, hot out the gate? What do you guys think?
Here's what I think. I thought that obviously he was 1 minute away from winning the championship.
I just like how when two wrestlers go for it, it just turns into a shit sloppy kickboxing. Yeah, that was just like the sloppiest kickboxing match ever.
I thought he looked pretty good.
No, yeah. I think, in terms of technical fighting,
if we're just talking
striking, that was just... Both guys were just throwing hands. That was a bar fight.
I don't think we should. The thing about this is that they're gonna. We're good. Okay. What? Here's what I think is that I know guys that have trained with Colby, and they say, no disrespect to Colby, he doesn't hit the hardest.
No, you know. But he doesn't throw the hard.
I mean, he throws. The reason he's able to do that, and he has a gas tank that's like that, is because he throws it 50% probably.
This is the kind of guy who's like a numbers striker who puts up a bunch of numbers. And the problem is that Usman's, defense was pretty tight. And all the, like I said, it wasn't the most elite striking match, but that's because both guys have to worry about the takedown. And both guys are wrestlers at heart. So it was like a weird kind of thing where they weren't really committing to a lot of, both guys weren't committing to a lot of strike. They didn't set their feet.
It's like, every time they throw, it's like you're ready to get your hips back and sprawl.
But Colby did stun him a couple times. He looked like he did kind of rock him.
Not just a couple, bro. Multiple. Like, I mean, over 10.
And I mean, people are saying it was 2-2 or 3-1 Usman. Being there, I thought it was 3-1 Colby. Honestly, I thought he won the first.
Yeah, but also the crowd was
not really behind Colby. They were sort of behind Usman.
I mean, there was one judge that had a 3-1 Colby.
I only heard Colby getting
it. It seemed like the crowd wasn't behind Colby till he was winning. It was sort of like a lot of Trump supporters didn't want to admit they were Trump supporters when the lights were on.
Isn't that kind of like
but then when
normal?
The lights went off, all like his fans were like,
what
dirt,
if
you know?
We're here.
But I thought that he was a minute away from winning. So obviously he didn't have the worst strategy in the world because he was a minute away from winning. However,
was he though?
I mean, according to the scorecards, one guy had a 3-1 Colby, another guy had a 3-1 Usman.
Oh, they released that?
And then one guy had a 2-2.
Yeah.
So if
Colby won the third round,
and he won the first 3 minutes of the fifth round. So therefore, he was like 2 minutes away from winning. Mm. I do wonder.
Or at least making it a draw.
Right. But I do wonder, why would he not have gone for the takedown at all, even to tire out Usman?
Well, I would argue that because Usman is just a really good defensive wrestler.
Because he has a broken jaw. That too.
You don't want to jam your face right into
Nigerian
abs.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you
ever wrestled with Usman?
Yeah, hell yeah. He's a beast.
How'd it go?
Listen, since I've been in this game so long, I had the lucky. I can brag and say I beat up a lot of UFC champions.
Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, because these
they were
dudes,
fucking 12.
They
when you
didn't
were training
know.
With
no,
them.
These guys were grown men, awesome wrestlers who didn't know how to fight yet. And now you see them make this transition, and that makes me really happy to see because that shows the difference. Because I've seen fantastic wrestlers just fall off and not become anything, and then you see dudes like Usman, like Cormier, who worked really hard at stuff they will admit they were terrible at, many years ago, and they really adapted themselves and turned themselves into a complete fighter. And Usman is a perfect example of that because I really was worried that he wouldn't be anything.
But when you guys...
To be honest, I was like, when we first would box, I was LOLing. I was like, whoa, bud.
Really? He was that bad?
Well, just because he did really bad habits from wrestling that I was like, bro, you're going to get beat up if you keep doing that. And, I'd like to think that I helped set him on the back. But I also let him know, when we were training together, I also let him know that, hey, look, man, you really got a talent at this. And because he was bombed about the practices, and I told him, just stick with it. You'll be great at this. Right. Like, don't worry about today. Yeah. This is just one day. And he knows that already. He knew that already. But I think it was good for me to say that because, I've seen guys go have one bad day at practice and just kind of, I'm a wrestler. I literally had guys in my camp who were like top-level wrestlers, and then I brought them in my camp, and they've got access to top-level striking trainers and top-level, and then go get their ass beat at practice one time and go, nah, I'm a wrestler.
Now, what I don't get is that when you were living in Vegas, on The Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. And I was asking you, man, are you going to Extreme? Are you going to Syndicate? And you're like, I've been smoking pot every day and partying my ass off.
Let me tell you. Yeah, that was like, that time of my life was just the beginning of the end, sort of, bro. Like all these like champions that are out there now, if they get hooked up with the wrong people and just decide to like veer their life wildly off course, I can tell you, you know, I can tell you how to stop.
But you're living in Vegas, right? And the best training people in the world.
Yeah. But you got to understand it. Really, I was just a coach then. Like I committed when I was. Look, when I coach guys, when I was a coach on The Ultimate Fighter, I like committed 100% to coaching. And it's weird when you're coaching guys because if you commit to that level every day, I wasn't like taking a break. Every day I checked on the guys. Every day I made sure dudes who needed to rest rested. Dudes who needed to cut weight. I was like a mother hen.
So okay. when were you smoking weed then? At night.
Like I would kick back at night because it's not like when you're just focusing on your own fight, it's way different. You just can worry about yourself.
Right.
But when you got that many guys to take care, I don't even remember how many it was. 6, 8?
Yeah, Dillashaw, Dodson.
It was like a ton of those dudes.
Yeah.
So it's like you're like constantly stressed about, you know what I mean? Imagine you're eighth graders, but you're all over them every day.
But
you weren't worried
about your own fight coming up? I mean, you still were fighting.
Nah. That was like 6 months before. It was a way different, way different time. So like I was just worried about the guys and getting my guys to the highest level, you know, Bermudez. And it was just like a real, it was a way different life than doing your own fight. Your own fight is like way easier in a way because you just live a clean life and like don't stress. You just go work out. And,
yep.
You know what I mean? And like it's a
come
different
home, play video games, make some food.
Speaking
take
of
a nap,
yesterday
work out again.
So there's this girl on my team is awesome, right?
A girl.
Yeah, she's badass jiu-jitsu, and her little brother is
really
her little brother
is middle school.
Middle school.
Badass.
She's
not, she wrestled the boys too.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
She's gonna win the whole thing.
Really.
And, like pretty easy.
Man, girls like that's kind of like cheating because girls like develop like she's basically like a 15,
a woman,
16 year old already.
In some cases, but not this one. She's a small 110 pounder. I mean, but her little brother is funny, but he's a wise guy. Like
he's in the same grade.
Yeah. So yesterday, it's her birthday's coming up. I'm like, hey guys, her birthday's coming up Thursday. Make sure you guys. And I'm trying to be like hokey coach guy. And I'm like, you know, make sure you guys bring presents. You know, bring a car, or bring a bike. You know, some cupcakes. And then the boy goes and a strap on. And I was like, dude.
That's me 100%.
So
little baby ween dog.
Yeah.
A strap on? Like, middle.
He said that?
He said that.
Awesome.
No, awesome.
But I'm just saying, you know, the internet.
It was funny, but
everybody knows about strap on.
Well, yeah, they all fucking started laughing.
They all started dying laughing.
Well, duh.
But
because
I made the kid do 100 push ups. And then
made him do 100 push ups.
Yeah, of course.
So now, I mean, that's going to give him a complex.
Yeah.
He's gonna have a push up fetish now.
I was like,
chips and strap-ons.
Then he got upset, but I felt bad.
But at the same time, come on, dude. You're a comedian. He knows that.
I said, listen.
You make jokes all the time.
I said, listen, buddy. You're obviously very funny, but let's write a script or put in a comedy thing or a funny song parody. Just right now with your sister in wrestling practice is not the time to say stuff like that. You know, there's different channels.
I don't know, bro. I feel like this kid's a winner.
Yeah.
Is he a decent wrestler? No.
He's pretty good. He's got much better.
He's all right.
He's gotten better.
He's a jiu-jitsu kid, too.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's great.
All right. So, Colby, now listen, here's what I don't like is that I understand. See, I'm so torn on this because I remember having Colby Covington on the podcast back when no one knew him.
Yeah.
I mean, he won fight in the UFC. First UFC, I go, this guy's going to be a star.
He's still wearing Abercrombie.
I said, this kid's going to be a star. But I said, Colby, no one knows you. You're ranked number 30, 40, but you got to make some noise. You got to call people out, right? So he went, not because of me, but he did some pro wrestling. He did like TNA wrestling.
Yeah.
And someone explained to him someone explained to him the art of like the gimmick and like cutting a promo.
Yeah.
So he went all in on this character that we saw.
Oh, yeah.
Now, because of that, when he lost, first, all these people on the internet now, this guy Sean King and a lot of these like social rights, social justice warriors are writing, you know, immigrant Nigerian breaks jaw of white supremacist.
They ain't wrong. Like,
is he a white supremacist?
Yeah, no, his character.
Is his character
white? I don't even think his character's a white supremacist, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, well, his character is just
look, there's a blurry line. We live in weird, we live in strange times, man. It's a really blurry line where, like, if they're not, Trump supporters are, how do I say this without getting murdered on the internet? It's just that there's a blurry ass line, right? I think that all white supremacists are Trump supporters, but not all Trump supporters are white supremacists. But there's a blurry line in there.
Here's the thing. When he says things like, you know, Brazil, you guys are filthy animals, you know, or when he says things like, you know, sheep fucker, or when he describes, you know,
When he says things like that,
it's not helping his case, okay? Yeah.
But at
however,
the same time.
I think he's... I don't think that he's a white supremacist. Knowing him, and I hate that this is where this is going. Now.
This is America today, bro. Look, if you're a Trump supporter, they can slap the label white supremacist on you, even though it's not fair. Like they can slap it on you, and like no one's gonna feel bad.
No one's gonna be like, oh, they're making fun of or they're talking shit about Colby.
No, Brazilian and black, and his friends. I know he seems like when I hang out with him, it does not strike me as
no,
white supremacist.
No, he's not. But it's easier than just like, look, we live in a world that there is no nuance. You just can if it fits in the Twitter box, then that's it.
I know, but yeah. I just hate that it's sort of coming to this sport because I feel like this sport is a very
It's so pure.
It's the purest sport.
It is the purest sport when it comes down to like two
the
great,
actual
but
competition.
But he brought this upon himself. Yeah.
But this isn't about him. This is about everyone else. This is about like what I put on to Kobe.
Because if he was just a regular dude that didn't say I'm the Trump guy, and I'm this and that,
but
no
we wouldn't be talking about him. Nobody would give
a shit.
Yeah,
but then nobody would have been watching the fight.
And would he have even got that title shot?
Who cares? No, he did it. Probably not. Yeah. Look, if you're just generic. Look, the UFC wants that because it helps their bargaining chips. Where if it was just everybody is just a generic fighter in a Reebok uniform, then you can pay him less, you can negotiate less. But he put himself in the spotlight by saying all this crazy shit and made himself somebody. You know what I mean? Fuck. Was that
a good thing to do? I mean, do you think eventually he might have gotten there anyway on his own merit?
Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, what's going to differentiate you in this marketplace?
Well, it does
if you're
seem
the
like
one lone Trump guy in a sea of just regular generic 170 pounders, well, yeah, you're going to be the guy.
Well, people said like the guy that beat Holloway, Volkanovski, that like he didn't have to do that. But then again, he's the only guy from New Zealand, or if you're the only guy from Ireland,
Australia.
Is he from New Zealand?
He's from Australia.
Volkanovski? Okay. He's Australian.
He's from New South Wales. Okay.
So he's one of the few guys from Australia. Yeah. Him and Robert Whittaker are probably the two best guys. So they're kind of
Wait, what did he do that was so weird?
No, somebody was arguing that he didn't have to do that.
Do what?
What Colby did to get to where
he is. Yeah, but he's also not in a stacked division.
Well, I mean, he just had to lose 100 pounds and and be the greatest dude from Australia. Okay.
No, but I'm saying then you're arguing, would have Colby have gotten to the point where he has had he not done this character or not done this outlandish guy?
Maybe not as fast.
Bro, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
because she might just identify as your aunt.
Tyler and I are both Trump supporters, and we love some black people, dude. You know, some.
What?
I actually got to go.
Green Dog loves black women.
We love some black people.
We love some black people.
All right.
I got to go to the dentist, everybody.
Right,
hey, you know what? I love some black people.
We know.
Have a good episode. See you next Tuesday.
Take care.
All right, brother. God bless.
That's a great way to sign off.
What I'm saying is like, so you think this was the right move on Colby's part was to make himself into this caricature of
It was the only move.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look, he's talented at the gimmick, the trash talk. He's good at it. And, you know, why not use that? Look, I was good at you know, during my career, I did very similar. I never took that angle, political angle, but I always say weird shit all the time.
But isn't that a sad
It's part of my, it's part of my personality, and it's the same with him. It's part of his personality, and he just
it's based hyper focused. Yeah, exactly.
And
but isn't that a sad state that we that we live in right now, that, in mixed martial arts?
What do you want to do? Unplug the internet, Adam. No, unplug the internet, and we all fight in the basement.
No, but. Yes, I want everyone to fight in a basement. But I'm saying a guy like John Fitch got there without having to.
10 years ago,
Jake Shields got there.
10 years ago.
So you're saying now?
Are you really defending?
Look at where we live, man. Look at the society we live in. Everything is about outrage.
Different now.
Outrage.
Way different now.
It's outrage culture. It's if you can incite some kind of feeling into somebody. Then, like,
I mean,
Stipe Miocic
got there. Stipe, he didn't have to do all
that. They're different
because
paths.
The UFC pushed Stipe. The UFC pushed Stipe. Oh, the firefighter. Oh, he's this. He's the that. Oh,
he had a good
Modelo
story
commercials.
Too. He had a good story
all right,
too.
So if you're a guy right now who's 10-0 in the UFC or in Bellator,
and it's
like,
also
whatever.
The heavyweights. Dude.
And okay,
come
you're
on.
A 170 pounder. You're 10-0, and you're not from. A country, a smaller country, or you're from Georgia.
You're from Georgia.
Let's say you're from Georgia.
A 170 pounder from Georgia. Let's make up this.
You're a great wrestler.
Great wrestler.
Good striker, but you have no personality, and you're just what's his name? Cody. Who's that guy? Dude that won the Ultimate Fighter from Texas. Not Garbrandt. The guy who...
Stamen? Cody Stamen?
No. Before him. Colby, the guy who faked the handshake and went for a double and everyone got mad at him and whatever.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
That guy, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so...
Exactly.
You know what you're
who
saying?
The fuck is he?
No,
who
he
the fuck
had, but, well, that guy, has some, losses, what I'm trying to say. You're undefeated. So, you don't think keep winning fights will eventually get you there?
Yeah, but do you want to rocket to the top, or do you want to just keep grinding away and win? You know, it's a strange thing. It's not like it has to be organic. The internet can sniff out some stupidity. Like if Colby didn't believe in any of that shit he's saying at all and wasn't good at performing it, then everyone would be like, this is bullshit. But because he did such a good job, and we've spent fucking an hour talking about him already. You know, even though he lost the fight.
Yeah.
Whoa, are we talking about Usman? No. We're still talking about Kobe. It's this weird thing where people can incite conversations about himself. Well, there you go.
So where do they go from here? Because I obviously think I would love to see a rematch. I would like to see what would have happened had his jaw not broken. Yeah. Because...
Man, on the broadcast, you were there live. On the broadcast, if you, would have took a shot every time they'd said, his jaw is broken, you would be in a fucking coma right now. Because they just kept saying that over and over again. It was hilarious. Like, I get it. I get it. His jaw is broken. We know. You don't got to say it again, Rogan.
Yeah, but...
But his jaw is broken.
His jaw's broken.
So his jaw doesn't break. Does he win the fight?
Yes.
What are you talking about? Then it's a whole different fight.
Who even wins the fight if his jaw doesn't break?
I don't know. I mean, look, then it's a totally different fight. What do you mean?
Because he throws more punches.
He threw a bad punch. Usman landed that punch. What was it? Right hand, right? Straight right.
Yeah. It was like a 1-2.
Just blasted him. So, I mean, yeah, it definitely changed the tempo of the fight. Definitely changed how he was... You know, how he was reacting, how he was moving, and his face by round four, it was just enormous.
I wanted to see what would happen if he won. I was hoping that, because he said he was going to not let Dana White put the strap around him, and he was going to have Candace Owens do it. I don't think Candace Owens is even there, but I guess, Candace Owens is.
Dude.
She's this black conservative who's, very, not a comedian. She's very controversial, but.
She's not
bro, she's about. I've looked into some of her. Yeah, I remember her.
So,
she just, it's weird. It's like she's a paid actress for the Republican.
But no, she's not.
I know. I'm like, are you making this up, lady?
He did her podcast recently.
Really?
Yeah, Colby did her podcast. So he was going to have her put the belt around him.
Oh, that's great.
And he said he was going to snatch it out of Uncle Fester's face. It would have been I wanted to see what he would say. I'll
me
tell
too.
You, people were rooting for him. Lot of people, more than you'd expect. The guy behind me was the woman was one of those things where she was wait, wasn't everyone just booing him just now? Because all of a sudden Colby.
Fickle crowd. I love it.
Yeah. Hey, man, I would like to see what would happen because I do think that they're kind of head and shoulders above everyone else. Although, Woodley versus Colby would be a good fight because you know Woodley's going to get up for that fight. Yeah. He's not going to take that. He's not going to want to lose to Colby Covington.
No.
They already have bad blood because Colby said he beat him in practice back in the day.
I mean, that's the fight that they have to make right now.
And then the winner fights. And then Usman versus Masvidal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why not?
Is that what's going to happen? I didn't read
it. Masvidal tweeted out, I guess, because they used to be best friends, Colby and Masvidal, like best friends. Like,
yeah,
and then now they hate each other. According to Masvidal, Colby didn't pay the boxing coach.
I read that.
And, he said, see, it would have been a lot cheaper than your broken jaw if you would have just paid the guy, yada, yada. So I don't know. That may be good. Does Masvidal beat – Masvidal hates Ali Abdelaziz, hates him. And he's managed by Malky.
As he should.
Wait, who hates him? Oh, yeah.
Malky
Colby
manages.
Colby hates.
Masvidal is managed
by
Malky.
Everybody hates Ali, dude.
And Ali punched Malky at the PFL thing. So the managers hate each other, too. Who wins? Masvidal?
I'm into that.
I mean, the Masvidal that's fighting right now looks like he's could be Usman. I mean, this guy is just running through people between, you know, Askren and Nate Diaz was beating up
Here
Nate
you
Diaz.
Go again with your, like...
The MMA math.
MMA math. Adam just thinks
what do you
because
think wins?
This guy
okay,
beats that guy.
All right, dude.
I think Usman's going to go on a tear. He's going to keep that belt for a while.
Over
Listen,
Masvidal?
Yeah. Masvidal don't have to take down defense to stop. Look, that fight was not indicative of Usman's normal performance.
Yeah, right.
Usman normally... I think Usman was like all talking like, you know, good old Marty. He was saying like that he wasn't getting mad and wasn't da 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 da. Nah, dude. Mad. He could have took him down probably, especially after he broke his damn face.
Oh, yeah.
He could have probably took him down.
And those USA chants were not helping either.
So weird. But,
and,
I was like,
and the guy's,
what?
The guy's
I was like,
he's an American citizen,
USA.
Too.
Nah.
He is an American citizen.
He did make a good point, too.
I didn't mean nah. That is, I just think the crowd was like knowing. I think most people didn't know because I was shocked, too, because to me, I call Marty like, Kamaru.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marty. Yeah. Marty is like the most American dude
and
ever.
He grew up in Omaha.
And he grew up in Omaha. Yeah. Is like, has like the whitest accent. I made fun of him continuously about being the whitest talking dude. He's like, no, I just talk correctly. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You talk white. I talk blacker than you, you know? Yeah. But, you know, he took it. He got a good sense of humor.
Yeah. Seems
and
like it.
And I just laughed because. He's the most American thing he could be. An immigrant who's just worked his ass off to become an elite in his field. And I really feel that way. That, to me, look, I'm American, sort of born here and raised here. And to me.
What do you mean, sort of born here?
Sort of.
Where were you born?
Born on a base.
Born on a military base.
Oh, yeah, in Germany.
Born on U.S. soil.
Allegedly.
In somewhere.
And what? Trump's going to change that rule.
Oh, didn't
so
you have
that kind of makes me mad.
That's
yeah.
kind of sucked.
Parts
that's
on,
fucking
that's
bullshit.
That's fucked up. So if your parents, you know. Anyway,
bullshit.
I'm getting.
You have to apply for citizenship now. If you're born out of the U.S. to service members.
Really?
If, like, service members have you on a base, you have to apply for a U.S.
That's
citizenship.
That's the dumbest thing I've
ever heard. Fucking garbage, dude.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I know. Yeah, look, man, they're just trying to, like. That's why people say that, you know, the Trumps are racist or, you know, whatever. It's like they have this mentality that if you weren't born here. Meanwhile, you know, the guy's a...
His wife was born here.
Exactly.
She's like, imported. It's like fine silk.
It's pretty hot, though.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't mail order that bride? So, look, I don't know. I think Usman represents the American dream, yeah, in a way. And to me, like, being an immigrant who comes in here and gets to the top of your field is just American.
Yeah.
Like, we want that. And I know there's, like, a lot of anti-immigration sentiment. Oh, the country's full. And I get that. But do I? You know, I think.
And is it?
I like how I we're know. Going politics.
The more immigrants, the
See,
more
Colby,
comedy clubs.
Colby does it again. He gets us talking about politics on an MMA podcast.
The more immigrants, the more comedy club people
exactly.
that come to shows.
Yeah,
and they laugh the hardest. So,
really?
Oh my God.
Hell yeah.
I love doing Mexican crowds.
Nice.
Are you kidding? It's the best. It's the best. White people never laugh. All right. So. That being said, I want to see the rematch. I want to see that. I can't.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a while. I
sure.
mean, he's going to be all white man Christmas ooh, Christmas dinner through a straw.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
you
know.
I'll tell you who was really into who was really into the fight was Tito Ortiz. He was a big Colby fan.
No, oh, yeah. he's a huge Trump fan, dude.
Well, he's a huge Trump fan.
Tito is a huge Trump guy. He probably doesn't even know who Colby is besides that.
He also knew the value of being the heel, of being the bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Tito was doing it before anybody, really. He was like the first bad guy.
It's true.
And it was an extension of his personality.
For sure.
It wasn't like he made that up. That was kind of Tito.
Yeah.
Now, you told me that story that when Dana got mad at you, could talk about that?
Because
you were beating up Tito in practice?
I just kept catching him in triangles and like, yeah.
And Dana was managing him?
Yeah. Dana, I don't even think he was managing him anymore. It was like blurry area where Dana first became the president. And I kind of was like, yeah, it's a fucking triangle, you idiot. And I said that to Dana. And Tito, after the practice, was like, what the fuck are you doing? That's your boss. I'm like, what do you mean? He ain't my boss. I'm my boss.
But what did he say to you? What do you keep beating Tito with?
Yeah. No, he just couldn't understand how the triangle to the omoplata to the armbar, how that worked. And didn't think, he thought that I was just getting lucky. But, you know, it was like something I had trained forever. Like
6 times in a row.
Six-month
white belt jiu-jitsu stuff. Dude.
I know. It's just bizarre. And I was like, what? This guy doesn't know jiu-jitsu? Like, what the hell? But, and I was just shocked. Because, you know, this is so many years ago that I understand. Because there was, it was, MMA. We didn't even call it MMA yet. Called it NHB.
Well, I remember when I met Hoist Gracie, I was like, I met him in an elevator. And I was like, dude.
It's the worst place to meet
a
Gracie.
And he was like, nice to meet you. And I was like, Hoist, man, you know, I'm a big fan. I'm like, I thought Severin was going to kick your ass. And he goes, everyone did. I was like, yeah, he was like, because I couldn't believe that Dan Severin, this all-American badass.
Just you mentioning those names brings flashes in my head of like him tapping out so awkwardly. Remember that?
Yeah, well, according to him, he tapped out because he looked in to the crowd and saw Hoist's dad was going to let him kill his son. And he didn't want to kill his son.
Really?
So he tapped out. I don't know if I believe that.
That's a great cop-out, dude.
That's awesome.
That's the best excuse I've ever heard.
I believe that. Never mind. Yeah, Dan Severin is the beast.
He's like, I don't want to kill your son. I'll tap out to save his life. Because he was going to let him kill his son when he was on top of him. That's what Dan told me on the podcast.
That is fucking awesome. I believe it.
Really?
I believe it. I believe that's what he thought.
Oh.
Or I believe that's what he thinks.
Okay.
Because
he thinks now. Yeah.
So that's a real, I don't know, man.
That's what he's told himself.
Yeah.
The last 20 years.
Your brain will do some powerful gymnastics. Look at Colby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then what do you think about Colby running out afterwards? I had no problem with it.
I don't think it's out of like being ashamed either or embarrassed even.
I think he was just
probably fucking pissed and sad.
Yeah.
He was pissed at the ref. Now, do you think the stoppage was justified?
I mean, look.
You're just holding on.
I don't know why they stopped that quick. I mean, it looked like he was done. But I feel like in a fight of this great of magnitude, they could have like let it go a little longer.
I mean, there were five shots to the back of the head, or six or seven.
Okay.
Which I thought was wrong.
I mean, but look, we always say this after every fight that a stop like that happens. Like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do about it? Stop the guy. It's illegal, yes, but in the heat of the moment, nobody stops and go, oh, we'll give him a chance.
But Colby was sort of defending himself.
He was alive. He was still alive.
And he was going, I mean, he had a single, like, grasp.
He's also a wrestler. He's also a wrestler. And his whole thing is wrestling. He was basically in referee's position if he had his head up.
The classic Sakuraba getting kneed and then, like, he went for a single leg, and it looked like he was knocked out.
And then you go, well, if he was wrestling, could he have possibly got a takedown?
Look, I agree. In the moment, I was kind of pissed. Like, what? They should have at least made Marty finish the man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't done, obviously, because he protested immediately.
He was fucked off?
Definitely. But he'd been getting fucked off through the whole fight and still was in there. He was still there. So it just stokes the fire for a rematch.
Now, the one kick, though, was not a low kick. That
hilarious.
First
but again, that's if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Because Usman was like, And Usman like looked up and watched the replay and saw that it didn't land on his cup and was like, "Oh, I'm fine."
Everyone was booing.
Everybody's booing. Yeah, I know from where I was watching, it was like real apparent immediately. I like saw it immediately. I was like, "Ah, he didn't land a kick on his nuts before Usman." But like that's a wrestling thing. If it looks like you got fouled, take a moment. Why not take a breath?
Hell yeah!
If the ref thinks you got fouled, why not take a moment?
Yeah,
and
that's not your problem.
And I've been in there. It's easy for like the people on the couch to complain.
Yeah.
But it's easy on the couch for people to complain. But a damn, you know, look at that.
I mean, you could argue that the cup went down. I guess.
No, what? In what fucking country does a cup? Nah, Usman just played it smart.
Go up to your fucking waistband, dude.
You gotta look at this in context too. Is that right before all this happened? There was like a bunch of like scrambles, like stand up like scrambles, I call them, where you guys were like exchanging like quick, and both guys were kind of getting gassed.
Yeah.
So. You know, there was like a lot of activity right before that. So Usman saw the opportunity where the referee was like, "Oh, did that hit your nuts?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah, sure.
Gage, can you text me that, by the way, so I can just copy the text as opposed to writing it down? Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. For the people calling in, it's another thing. Sorry. All right. So the
people calling
all right,
in.
All right.
Bro, you're like, don't hello, tell caller. Us anything. I appreciate it.
No, okay. All right.
Go ahead.
The other fights. All right. We'll talk about some of the
welcome,
other fights. Welcome,
caller.
The other fights. Max Holloway versus Volkanovski. Max thought he won. I did not think he won that fight.
Nah. But look, like you weren't in there. Like if you were in there and like making moves, I think that those leg kicks really, oh my goodness, those leg kicks changed the whole fight. Because I think just stand up, like if they were just gonna have a kickboxing fight, I think that Max could beat his ass and like not have to stand southpaw. Once he stood southpaw, his like his offensive output went to the toilet.
Yeah,
like there was no. Like, he did good defensively from southpaw, but you could just tell he's a different fighter. Standing north, he was really scoring a lot better. But then once those leg kicks started hammering, well, then he had to change up his style. If I was in his corner, I would have said, "Hey, fuck it.
Yeah.
You're not injured. We're going to ice your leg every round. Just stand regular and just keep putting numbers up there." Because
he's a boxer anyway.
When he would use the dynamic striking, and it's great to see Holloway too, because I've seen that guy since. Oh, God bless you. since he was like a little kid, I seen that guy in the gym.
Yeah.
And he was always really talented. I was super shocked to see him like, you know, develop to this higher level and get all this success. And I don't know, man. I know his corner had the best intentions in mind. But I think that if he was going to stand, you know, orthodox, he would have scored more points, you know?
Well, and it's interesting because, like, when we see Max the most successful, it's he's switching back and forth you know, it's like he's one of those guys that if he just decides, like, all right, I'm going to do this, it doesn't seem to work out for him. Like, he has a set game plan. He seems like more of an improviser.
He uses his southpaw to set up kicks.
Yeah.
What he does is like he goes southpaw, sets up a left kick, which starts him on a combination,
and then lands back into north. Yeah.
He always does like a left kick, goes to regular, and then starts using his hands. If he can get the guy going backwards, that's when he's most successful.
Right.
And this guy game planned him to a T, where he was using those leg kicks. I think they worked out even better than he thought, because Holloway can get you with his length.
Yeah.
So he makes you go backwards and then chases you back to the cage and scores punches until you get to the cage, and then he kicks again.
Yeah.
No, then he kicks again. But in this fight, though, does early onslaught of kicks. And I don't know, those fucking, I'll call them rugby kicks.
Yeah.
Those rugby kicks just battered his legs early on.
Well, it seems like Poirier kind of made the blueprint for Holloway.
You're right. Yeah.
And which sucks, because it was like he went up a weight class, loses to Poirier, and then now it's like,
now we know.
Now the blueprint's out on him.
Yeah, exactly.
Granted, you have to be at this high level to, you know, execute that right. blueprint.
Not everybody's going to be
but,
able to do it.
Yeah. So that was but yeah, so there was a and then I'll tell you what, I had money on Jermaine Durandamé for some reason. I thought she was going to win.
Listen.
I almost won that.
Listen,
one.
If we're just going to jump right into that, that woman is a she beast. Oh my God, I want her to have my baby.
She asked me out on a date back in the day.
My man, you should have went.
Yeah, Jermaine.
You should have dropped the seed in that river.
Oh man.
Because that woman is a damn monster. I mean, and still looks like a woman. Like that's the weird thing is that she's not super bulky or anything. She's just a really good athlete. Like that, her kickboxing style is very impressive. Made the lioness look human.
Now, how could she have finished that triangle?
Yeah, that's a weird one. Well, the funny part was I don't think it was so much the triangle was so deep. It's just that the champ was so damn tired. Nunes was like getting tired. It was one of those things where she was getting suffocated. She just had, because she didn't have the triangle at a perfect angle, but she did have the positioning so that her like mouth was covered and like it was, she was just feeling.
It's enough to cut off like some of your air,
wore
start
down.
Cutting off some of the blood, and then you're working and you're just carrying that.
But not
weight.
Enough to finish.
It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, but at the same time, what I was bummed out is that. You know, I don't know where was she training? I know you know this. Where was she training?
Jermaine trained at she was at AKA for a while.
Oh, okay.
With Cormier and Khabib and all them.
Okay.
Yeah, well, she's in San Jose.
I mean, I just wish her jiu-jitsu coach would have got with her. And she didn't exhibit some of the symptoms.
This is the best she's looked on the ground, though. I mean,
I agree.
Normally, she would get fucked up on the ground. She just not.
I mean, she did get fucked up, but it's kind of one of those things that's going to take time for her to.
I can't believe Amanda,
to develop
Amanda
her technique.
Fell into that too.
Really? Why?
Like,
I can. It was just, you know, it's just, I mean, look, her body type.
I guess
type,
I can because it's like one of those, like, you get excited about throwing punches and you kind of forget about the jiu-jitsu for
no,
a second.
No, but it was well set up by Durandamé.
Yeah, it was.
Like, Durandamé, like, she I just wish that it was like, I don't know. I wish I could coach that chick. She, like, man.
I'll tell her. She's on the phone in love with you, bro.
She has, she has some technique. Like, she has, like, the raw talent to be a great jiu-jitsu player.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And she need, you know what I mean?
And the body type.
Well, let's talk to a guy lanky, right now who has some talent as well. David Michaud, they call him the Bulldog.
Hell
so
yeah.
Mayhem, I'll tell you all about this guy.
Please.
You're on. So this guy right here, I've been friends with him forever. He grew up on a reservation in North Dakota, right? South Dakota, North Dakota?
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
He was like the man on his res. Like he was a 15-year-old. He was a state champion in wrestling. He was the man. They had him. His dad had him fighting men at age 14 years old. They called him the Bulldog. And his home workouts were like him just like picking up the practice dummy and throwing it on his head.
Nice.
Or like just really. And they were, everyone was like the Bulldog, Bulldog. The guy played college football. He was the man. Then he made the Ultimate Fighter. Everyone's like, he's our only hope, right? This reservation has like, it's like a big drinking problem on the res. They have a lot of issues, yada yada. So then he loses. He's winning like two rounds. He's ready to win. He gets caught like in like a fucking triangle or something. Off the Ultimate Fighter, makes it back onto the UFC, right? Wins his first fight, second fight, he's gushing, loses the first fight, gushing blood everywhere, they almost stop it, and then he walks out to Taylor Swift, then he loses again, they put him up against some stud, yeah, so then he gets cut from the UFC, he goes 1-2, then he goes to like Bellator, then he goes somewhere else, he makes it to the PFL, he goes to Combate, loses in 14 seconds, gets kicked in the stomach, everyone's like, it's hopeless. They gave up on him, right? Now, comes back, wins 5 in a row.
Nice.
And is fighting on New Year's Eve for $1 million.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Here he is.
Sir, the David Michaud.
And he's scared of flying, so he's driving from the lab in Arizona all the way to New York City.
What a character. I love this guy already.
What an intro.
Bulldog, how are you, man?
I don't know. Adam makes me sound better, more badass every time he talks about me. So yeah, I just need him to keep talking.
Nah, buddy, you make yourself sound more badass every time we talk about you. It sounds like you're just really making a damn name for yourself out there.
How are you, man?
Good. We're in fucking buttfuck Tennessee or something. Yeah, somewhere. I don't know.
You don't know where. Now, are you going with your girlfriend?
Yeah, my girlfriend. Right.
Oh wow.
She's hot.
His girlfriend's name is Her Many Horses. She's gorgeous, but they're always fighting. They fight all the time.
You know.
Yeah. They
I've
fight.
Been there,
That's
bud.
Not true.
So.
I got my buddy Frank coming out with me. My girlfriend's teaching, so she's still working. Me and Frank, we stopped in like Oklahoma City last night, some little cheap ass hotel, and now we're heading out to my buddy Scott Holtzman's house.
Yeah, hot sauce,
Scotty.
Nice. Now, I know you're with John Crouch, obviously a great, great coach. And Ray Cooper knocked out Jake Shields twice, something you couldn't do, Mayhem. Okay, this dude is a...
brutal.
Ray Cooper is a monster. But it seems like his game plan is going to be to try to get you into a war. And that's usually your game plan, too. Are they telling you to not do that?
Yeah, that's always kind of what Crouch tells me. He's like, all right, we'll go out there. You know, we'll wrestle, we'll move our head, move our feet, get out there. You guys know how it goes. You get out there, you get hit, you're like, fuck, let's throw down. So hopefully that doesn't happen. You know, in that 50-50 mode, I feel like if I move my feet, move my head, wrestle them up a little bit, wear them out. But, kind of do all of MMA.
But what do you think you have the advantages here? Wrestling, jiu-jitsu?
I feel like my wrestling and my jiu-jitsu are a lot better than his. I feel like I'm a more dynamic striker. So just mix it up and do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
What are you watching out for in his stand-up department? Like, what do you think he's going to try to do?
Hooks. All his fights are kind of the same. Like, he just comes out and, you know, he's firing some big, nasty hooks. So, that's mainly what I got to watch out for.
You think he has You think he has a takedown defense to stop your takedowns or what?
I don't think he can stop my takedowns, but he's got pretty good takedowns himself. And, you know, whenever you're throwing a big shot, it's hard to stop a takedown. So, and he likes to throw big shots. He definitely comes out and just starts winging some hooks right away. And the plan's going to be don't get caught by one of those and hopefully catch him first.
Now, are like the guys on like the Reds, are they doing like a dance for you? Or are they
smoking some peat
smoking some
you?
Stuff? Or like seriously, is it?
Yeah, I mean, whenever there's ceremonies and stuff, people are always telling me that they're praying for me. So I'm sure there's a lot of prayers going up. And, they was talking about trying to rent out a party bus and take it to New York. I'm like, I don't think you can drive a bus to Madison Square Garden. We'll see who shows up.
Why not?
Yeah, so, you can. Conor McGregor will attack it.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I told him he should play up the native more and be like he's like instead of 29, he's like 60 moons or something.
Yeah. Wait.
Like,
what? Yeah, 60 moons. Wait. What? What? What tribe is it? What tribe are you from?
Oglala Lakota, the Sioux, I guess people might know more of.
Yeah, that's amazing.
From my tribe was Red Cloud, Crazy Horse. Those two were from like my same band.
Awesome, yeah, man. Wow, that's
awesome.
Fucking rad.
Yeah, now, didn't you tell me last time that like red skin meant they would like skin your face or something? Didn't you tell me that was like a super offensive?
It's like. Well, people from my res, like, people who get offended by stuff are honestly kind of like Indians that live in the city.
Oh, social justice Indians. I get it. No, so you don't have a problem with the Redskins logo?
But, you're getting
remixed right now.
Go on.
Go on. Sorry, you had a little connection.
They would say a redskin was a scalp, a native's scalp that was what the government paid for. So you brought in a scalp of a native, and they gave you like $3 because you was a bounty hunter, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, I know about that. Man.
Wow,
that's crazy.
Damn,
and there's and we still have dark. That team,
and then we still have the Washington Redskins. Oh my God, that's crazy. But don't you think maybe you should walk in with like Ray Cooper's head, like on like a stick or something, like that, like fuck.
Yo, I think the spirits of the people.
Yeah, I think people are.
They're not happy, dude.
I think people are mad at this. Hello, can you stop driving for a sec?
Not,
David, what's going on?
We just lost him.
We just lost him.
Oh, fuck. Hold on.
Oh, no, he's here.
Hello?
Right. I love this. I love how we always...
We got 2 bars. If we hit right. 5 bars, we'll stop.
Okay, there we go.
I love this.
So I'm so excited for you, man, because you are honestly, though, like the epitome of someone who just does not quit. You keep coming back. You know, I that love that about
that
you.
That just means I lost a lot. That means I lose a lot.
Yeah, you do. But it's okay because you keep coming back, though, man.
You got an iron chin and you don't quit.
Like, you don't quit. You and your girlfriend are such a beautiful couple. She sent us all these, like, feminist books for the baby.
Perfect.
So now, like, my baby's an angry feminist at, like 16 months.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, it's they're really good people. Really, really good people. Too bad I can't talk to you. Yeah, yeah, no, she gets mad. Like, somebody made, like, a disparaging remark to her about natives, and she, like, he laughed, and she was ready to fucking kill him.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm way more scared of his girlfriend, yeah, than him. Absolutely.
That's who will scalp you.
Yeah. Now, does she want to have kids?
Eventually, yeah.
Is this million dollars? Is this $1 million helping that decision?
It would make it easier, right? I mean, they seem more. I think people who ain't been poor say that because I have plenty of problems being poor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Now, are people hitting up for money already or no?
Jokingly, I think once I win it, then it'll start changing and I'll have to start deleting some numbers. But right now, it's like, oh, let me get a grand. I'm like, man, what's your job? You know?
Yeah. That's so cool. Now, he was the number 7 seed, Mayhem.
Yeah.
Number 7 seed in the tournament. Like, he barely made it.
The dark horse.
And now he's coming in. Now, are you going to walk out? Go on. What were you saying?
I've been walking out to Confident by Demi Lovato. So I think I'm going to keep that going.
Hell yeah.
Hell
that's
yeah.
Fucking dope, dude.
Your girl?
I mean, it's not like next. It's not sex or whatever, but, you know, it could work for fighting. It's cool.
Oh, so many things are interchangeable like that.
Yeah. Now, listen, Mayhem, you've been around the block. You've made some money. You've lost some money.
Yeah.
Any advice for young David Michaud?
You know, just split it up a little bit. Keep it away from your old lady. That's probably my best advice. Just keep a big chunk of it away from her, and I think you'll be okay, dude.
You got to diversify your bonds.
Yeah. Buy some property.
Buy some property.
Now, the fight's at 170, right?
Yeah, we're the 170 championship.
And now, how much do you weigh right now?
I was 88 two days ago. I didn't check this morning. I just figured traveling. So I'll probably be heavy.
All right, so you lose 20 pounds in 12 days.
13, yeah. We're 2 weeks out right now.
Easy work. Easy
really?
Work. Yeah. 20 yeah, pounds in 2 weeks?
Minor.
Easy work.
That's mellow, bro. That's like two days in the trash bag.
Now, Ray Cooper is going to be bringing in like all of Hawaii to root against you. Last time he brought in like 80 people. Is that going to fuck with you at all?
No, it was cool. He had a lot. There were a lot of Hawaiians at Vegas for the tournament. Like, me and him definitely had the biggest crowd whenever we fought. So hopefully I can kind of match it, you know, bring some Indians, bring some yeah. Savages.
Bro, are you really asking an Indian if he's going to be scared of going to enemy territory? He lives in enemy territory.
That's a good point.
Yeah, bro. He's been fighting the man his whole life.
It's a good point.
Colonizers.
It's a good point, man. You're right. Well, David, I'm gonna be rooting for you, man. Look what I'm wearing right now.
Hell yeah.
Fucking
shirt. I know, I saw that. Looks good on you.
Hell yeah, man. I'm so proud of you, man. No matter what happens. My wife actually never watches MMA, and she's like, "When's David fighting?"
Nice.
So
that's rad.
We're both rooting for you, man. You got this.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Be smart. Don't get into a fucking slug out with him. Not right away. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe knock him out early. Who knows? So
knock him out. Yep. Just like that.
Yeah. If it only was that easy.
Great game plan. Just knock him out.
Well, good luck, brother.
Good luck, man.
All right.
Sweet. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. Take care. By the way, Hector Lombard.
A handsome devil, too. Isn't he? Real likable character.
Such a nice guy. Right? By the way, Hector Lombard is fighting Joe Riggs in bare knuckle boxing.
Is he?
Yeah.
Jeez. Bare knuckle, shout out to you, them. They gave me a call.
Really?
Yeah. I might do some broadcasting for him.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe fight.
Now, who
is Joe Riggs is fighting Hector Lombard. Yeah, some company was trying to get me to fight for him a long time ago, and they're like, "Yeah, Joe Riggs is fighting for us." So I watched Joe Riggs fight.
He's good at bare knuckle.
I know, and he just double-legged the shit out of the guy immediately. I was like, "Man, you know what? That was kind of my fear that I would do that same thing."
I think he's good at bare knuckle. Hector's gonna be a good fight.
It is.
It's gonna be a good fight. By the way, Hector did the quintet that I was telling you about. You watch that?
I didn't see it. No.
Quintet. Okay.
Dude,
so
he
this,
looked fucking.
So this thing. This thing is awesome. So basically, it's 5-on-5. It was Team Strikeforce, Team UFC, Team WEC, and Team Pride, and one versus one goes out.
I couldn't find out where to watch it.
It's on Fight Pass.
Fight Pass. Oh, okay.
One goes out, and then the winner. If like you win, you stay on and fight their number two guy. But if it's a draw, it goes 8 minutes. Then you're both out. That's,
oh, really?
That's
content. Oh, that's interesting.
So it was actually
it's like King of the Ring with teams.
Yeah, it was actually cool. Pretty cool. I mean, it was so like
And then it just moves on. So like one guy could win the whole match without the other team, but even wrestling.
Yeah,
hilarious.
But then they go to the next round.
An 8 minute match.
Yeah.
Okay.
4 or 8 minutes. You like decide if it's a 40-pound weight difference. The lighter person decides whether it wants to be 4 minutes or 8 minutes, or one of them decides that. So, like Sean O'Malley went up against Gomi and like submitted Gomi.
Fucking
and then he got murdered by Hector Lombard. But it was like a very big
weight difference.
Yeah. And then Lombard went up against Anthony Johnson, and that no one tapped anyone out, but like Johnson like double legged him across the whatever.
And so they do points.
No
points.
Only in like the last one.
Is there a judge?
Yeah, the last one, they go to judges.
Okay.
And then it was there was some interesting matches.
But if nobody taps nobody, is just a draw?
Yeah, then they're both out. And then it was Gracie versus one of the Gracies went up against first he beat.
Yeah, it was like a random Gracie.
I know, it was like he beat Clay Guida.
Yeah. Harpo Gracie?
He beat Clay Guida pretty quickly. And then he lost. No, and then he went up against Smith, Anthony Smith.
Anthony
it was
Smith,
a draw.
Yeah.
What's his name? Did James Krause. Jumped into a standing guillotine and beat King Mo quick. Gracie.
That's Gregor. Gracie.
Yeah.
He's not a random Gracie.
No,
that
he's
guy
not
is
a
good
Gracie.
Gracie.
Yeah. It wasn't Harpo Gracie. So it was pretty cool. I'll tell you what, Mark Munoz came in at like 300. I mean, he says he's 240, but
no way.
Yeah.
Went up against Jake Shields.
Sako, dude. Sako and Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, Gilbert Burns is a stud. He beat everybody almost. Chad Mendez went against Jay-Z Cavalcanti. This went to a draw. Sorry if I'm spoiling it for anybody. But and then they had like random ones. Like Cynthia Cavillo lost to some girl from 10th Planet.
Oh, yeah. Jake Shields, Cub Swanson.
And then, Cub Swanson tore his ACL and MCL against Jake Shields. He like turned out the wrong way.
Oh, no.
What, on a heel hook?
No, there's no heel hooks allowed.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And then what's his name? Went
no
up again.
Heel hooks?
Oh, by the way, did you ever watch that?
Alexi Olenek and Gordon Ryan.
Yeah, Gordon Ryan beat Lennox real quick.
Dude.
But the Bo Nickel one, see what gets Bo Nickel?
Yeah.
Remember we talked about that here?
Yeah.
So they had that. Bo Nickel was doing pretty well. But then there was one time where Gracie got up and just put his butt into him. Gordon Ryan just put his butt into him and just started backing into him. And then Bo Nickel launched him.
Suplexed
the shit out of him. And then Bo Nickel ended up winning by like triangle. Not Bo Nickel. I mean Gordon
Bo
Ryan.
Nickel by triangle.
No, Gordon Ryan won by
well,
triangle.
Man, if you had that on your parlay, you're rich.
No, Gordon Ryan. Yeah, but now Gordon Ryan's going up against this wrestler, Pat.
Pat Downey.
Yeah, Pat Downey. I think in a wrestling match, who's like the bad boy of wrestling. He's on the world team. He got kicked off a bunch of teams.
About to rip
and yada,
that
yada.
Leg off.
Yeah, so this dude is a stud, Gordon Ryan.
Alexi knows he's fucked.
But Downey's talking shit. He's like, that juiced up whatever.
Well, they've trained before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like, they're fucking with each other.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, oh, that kind of ruins it. But yeah, this thing's pretty cool. So I talked to them, but they'd be interested in you, Mayhem.
Peel the heel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks like 2020 is going to be real busy for me. Well, 2019 has been a damn bummer. I'm ready for it to be over.
Well, they got So each guy got $7,000, and the winning team got an extra $5,000 for this.
Yeah.
So you can make $12,000 for, I guess, for having fun and grappling. I mean, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty rad.
And like, no one really gets hurt except for Cub Swanson.
No one gets hurt. You gotta rip your damn knee off in this thing.
Knee bar.
And then also it was what's name did it too? The guy from Arizona went up against a black belt from Vegas. That guy Craig something that like
Craig Jones.
Craig Jones. Yeah. So this was a lot of fun.
Dude, Sean O'Malley surprised me, man.
Yeah, he's this guy that like. So they found him on Ultimate Fighter, and this dude, on the Contender Series, has like a big afro. Looks like, I said it was like Screech McGregor.
Yeah.
It looks like Screech and McGregor. And he's amazing at striking. He's undefeated, but then he got popped for steroids or something in his system, so he's been suspended. Snoop Dogg was the commentator back then. Everyone hated Snoop because he would.
On what?
On the Dana White's Contender Series?
No.
Yeah. People got mad at Snoop because he was like, "You got knocked the fuck out. Yeah, bitch." He was like saying things that were disrespectful towards fighters.
Get up, bitch.
Yeah,
get up.
Yeah, and then he got replaced by like Bisping.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to like. A guy who's never fought, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to like have him be the commentator. He's
probably got like 200 like, street fights.
Because it's basically like having a dude out of the crowd who doesn't have any respect. Just
But he's trying to be entertaining, and I get it. But,
I get it. Yeah.
See my
and on top of that, when you got like go fuck yourself money like Snoop Dogg, like why on earth would you even care? You know what I mean?
It was him and Uriah Faber.
But like Matt Brown wanted to kick his ass.
Just drinking and commentating fights. Yeah.
But like Matt Brown wanted to kick his ass.
Oh, Matt Brown.
Matt Brown got really mad at him. By
Speaking
the way,
Matt Brown.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, Matt Brown, Matt hellbells. Brown.
Did you see what happened with him and Ben Saunders?
No. What?
Matt Brown.
Dude, Matt Brown fucked up Ben Saunders.
It was on the prelims.
It was the second fight of the night.
I was on my way to go watch it on the prelims.
He knocked out. He beat Ben Saunders pretty bad. Right here,
Ben Saunders, he had him in a nice triangle. Well, a triangle.
Yeah.
For
that's a
while.
Reverse triangle.
Yeah, it's a reverse triangle. I mean, he was going for the omoplata probably, but.
I'll tell you who
he got out of it.
I'll tell you who I felt bad for was Uriah Faber, too. Him.
Yeah, Uriah Faber like really like showed some of his greatness, but that dude, what's his name, Yan?
Yeah.
Man, that Peter dude Yan, is a damn monster.
But I think a Prime Faber beats him.
Yeah, but like, dude, Prime Faber is like a while ago now. Yeah. Faber is just impressing me that he's still out there doing like fantastic
fights.
Dude,
I'm sitting next to him.
Back out there.
I got so much more respect for Faber after that fight. Like, I'm like, how the hell is he getting up against this little beast? You know what I mean? And just still looking pretty awesome. You know, like, I thought I couldn't be a bigger Faber fan back in the day when he, like, broke his hands and then just started elbowing.
Oh, started throwing the elbows at Mike Brown?
That guy has given us so many classic fights that, I mean, he's Hall of Fame
Here's
already.
Here's the ending to the Saunders one. Matt Brown.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Matt Brown gave him... That was a weird-ass elbow. That was really impressive.
It was just like a... It was like a football...
Yeah, it was
forearm.
Like a strange forearm like maneuver just, that he busted. Like that was very like
it
inventive.
Wasn't a swipe. Like he didn't swipe at all. He just kind of drove it into him.
Yeah, it was one of those. Woo! Yeah, that was like one of those you practice on the bag and you just made it happen. Even the ref like shit his pants a little bit.
Dude, I sat next to Faber's girlfriend watching the fight. Well, I didn't really. I like snuck down, which is always embarrassing.
I love. I love sneaking down. It's it's part of the experience.
But then when they ask you to leave in front of everybody, you're like that asshole.
Even better.
That has to get
even
up.
Even better.
Really?
I did that at the Stanley Cup one time. I was sitting right on the boards, and then some dude came with his ultra hot girlfriend. I was like, "Ha, great seats, bro!" And I just left. Yeah, it was like a funny walk of shame because I can't shut up.
Yeah.
So I'm making comments the whole time, you know, saying funny shit.
It would be nice to be able to sit down here.
Yeah, I went back up to the nosebleeds.
That's what happened here. But I sat next to Faber's girlfriend, who's smoking hot, and their little baby, who was like 6 months old. She didn't even know what was going on. She had like her bottle, taking a bottle the whole time during the fight.
Thank God.
At the same time, it's like one of those things where, he lost, but I mean, it wasn't. So brutal that he'll never.
It was competitive.
It was very competitive.
But at the same time, like I think Yan might have like, look, if the stakes were a little higher, like if Yan had to fight a dude who was like on the come up like he is,
yeah,
I think he would have took more chances. But instead, he just fought a very tactical, smart, slower game where he was, felt him out at the beginning and then figured out where to make his shots and then made him.
And then backstage, Cody No Love got into it with him.
Cody Yan, No Chin?
And he called him Cody No Chin. That's what Yan said. So they're trying to make that fight. I don't really understand that. I mean, they're not going to fight backstage.
Oh, Uriah.
So, like, what was he trying
to... It's painful to watch.
Bro, aggression just boils over. When these guys are in the prime of their career and, like, you know, just, like, getting after it. I mean, you got to understand, I mean, the life that this lives.
Yeah, but Cody's in, like, a suit. He's wearing, like, a three-piece suit. He's backstage. I guess he's mad because his boy lost, his best friend lost, his coach lost. But I don't think Yan was being disrespectful.
No.
I don't know what happened backstage or what he said, but this guy doesn't seem like the
dude. Cody Garbrandt seems like the type of person that would just walk up right into your face and start shit.
Because you beat his friend.
Oh, yeah, you beat my friend. I'm going to fucking beat your ass, bro. Oh,
man, loyalty.
You ain't shit.
Look, like, loyalty cool. is a thing. Dude. This guy's a loyal
Have
guy.
Have you ever been that, like, but that, like a friend?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not the type of guy to, like, go out of my way like
if that. If that was my friend that just got beat up on the street,
yeah,
sure.
That's one thing. But
not
here.
My friend that, like, signed a contract and walked into a cage to fight this other dude and then got beat. That's like when
even,
you should be talking
I mean,
to your
Faber
boy saying, hey,
retired.
What are we going to change?
He was retired and he beat Ricky Simon. And I understand Ricky Simon's a good fighter,
but he's not. Yeah.
I can't believe they gave him this high profile of a guy. I mean,
he was probably asking
look,
for it.
He's a gamer. Look, it's
and
not
it's Uriah
like
Faber.
He's going to turn down. Uriah Faber ain't going to turn down anybody. He's still a gamer.
Well,
you know
I also
mean? And maybe yeah, it could be argued that maybe his management shouldn't have made that fight. Maybe he should, you know, maybe they should be protecting him. But at the same time, Faber wants to fight. Dana's going to put him against a killer.
Well, I thought Anthony Smith was next to me, and I was like, I can't believe they gave him this guy. And he said, yeah, well, they got to
build him off
someone. They have to rationalize giving him that much money too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the contract he has, they're not going to put him up against. Because I was like, why don't they give him Diego Sanchez or something? Where it's like it's going to be a fun fight. They're not, you know, but right. I guess. I mean, wouldn't that make more sense if a Faber versus
Look,
Diego
I'm
Sanchez?
I'm with you. I'm with you because I'm an old school fan, and I appreciate these kind of like freak shows. You know, that people call them. But I don't think they should even call them. I just think they should call it like exhibition.
The classics.
Yeah, like why not? Why not put like two fan favorites together and pad out the card that way? Instead, because of the growth model, it's economics. It comes down to the UFC has to build new stars.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
And since they own everything, since they own every fighter besides Bellator, they have the opportunity to do that. They
but like
have
a Faber versus Joe Lozano.
Look, I didn't even know. I'll admit, you know, I'm less of a hardcore fan than you are because right. I'm not like watching every.
But you
event
also had like a year and a half
time.
You couldn't watch fights.
And yeah, and I mean, we watched a few.
Really?
That's true. Yeah.
They let you guys watch fights?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know. Yeah.
Like pay-per-views or the
Yeah, and if I sat on the top tier, I could look into the guard station and watch fights.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pay-per-view ones. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
pretty
guys,
bad.
I know. Yeah, so every once
That's
in
awesome.
A while I would get to watch the yeah. So, you know, I mean, so those little bits of happiness in a world of hurt.
Do you know who you were watching?
No.
Oh.
I know. It was just I could see the guards would come by and give me updates.
You probably hear Joe Rogan screaming from your jail cell.
Definitely. I mean, I always hear Joe Rogan screaming just inside my head.
So Mike Perry, that fight.
Oh.
Focus in a sec. Mike Perry's a guy that, like, you know, he's a guy. He's a high-profile guy. He's always going to come to fight. He's not always going to win. He usually, I mean, his record has been recently not very good compared to other guys. But he's a guy that, like, an outspoken guy with tattoos all over that people love to watch.
Yeah.
But they put him up against this guy who's a monster.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Undefeated. And it's funny because Perry's never been hurt. And even I turned to Anthony next to him, I go, yeah, but even if he loses, he's not going to get hurt. And right when I said that head kick wobbled him. And
yeah.
That was.
I thought that, like, I don't know. Also, I had a feeling about this guy because of his record, and I mean, his physique is freaking pretty awesome. I just when I first in the first round or so, something told me like, okay, this guy has some striking power. And when he did this kick, And oh, it just got right through his guard.
God.
Yeah. Are we going to get banned from YouTube? Because
no, because they're not watching.
No, the cameras
no,
can't
is
see.
Is that why you moved the damn TV from here?
No.
So, I have to sit around.
So the reason we re-uploaded, by the way, a couple of the podcasts was because they took them off YouTube because of the UFC.
Bro, that's just amateur hour, bro. Don't you know you got to like put like a sticker up on top of the video feed so that we don't get copyright?
Oh, really?
Claim?
Tell me. No, I did not know. Why couldn't you? Maybe you could have told me that during the podcast.
Maybe you should call your fucking.
I thought you already knew.
Buddy Dana. Maybe you could call Dana and be like, hey, can you not take my shit off YouTube?
Oh, yeah. I'll call him. Tell him that.
Call him. Text him.
If you don't want to give me his number, I'll call him.
100%. Yes.
By the way, I gave your number to Mayhem.
All right. All right.
Don't hate me.
So that's that. Jessica, I won. She missed weight by 5 pounds.
She sure did.
Which
still looked great.
She said she had her period.
Jessica, wait, is
that that time I missed weight by 30 pounds, I had my period too.
You had six periods going on at the same time. No, she said she was.
Wouldn't you technically lose weight?
Yeah.
You have your period? No, you
get bloated.
You get bloated.
Yeah, but then.
Come on, bro. You never had a girlfriend.
But then it all.
No, it didn't all just come out. She said she had her period. I'm not. No, the thing is, like, no one's going to argue that. Like, you didn't have your period.
That's a crazy Trump card to pull out.
Yeah, like, you say you have your period. People are like, okay, that makes sense. She's never missed weight before.
And she didn't, like, she was on track, too. Because she was talking about it like a week before weigh-ins, like, oh, fucking, yeah, ready to go.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was, like, keeping up with her.
And at least she's not pregnant.
Yet.
All right. So that, Jessica won. I'm happy for her. Now, let's talk about the fights this week. Frankie Edgar is fighting the Korean Zombie.
Yeah, that's
this Saturday night.
What do you think about that, Adam? I'm interested.
I think Frankie Edgar.
The Zombies.
Seems to be. I mean, the Zombie wins fights that I don't think he's going to win. He's got amazing striking. But Frankie's wrestling, I think, will win this fight.
If he wrestles.
I disagree. I think the Zombie's eventually going to touch him on the chin. And, you know, ever since that one fight.
With Brian Ortega?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at that fight. That was
yeah. Rough. So I think that guys, like, have a finite amount of chin. You know what I mean?
Brian Ortega's also very large,
but
though.
I've been dinked in fights and, like, as I got older, I noticed, like, man, I don't.
It gets worse. Yeah,
it gets way
now,
worse.
Now, when you get dinked, do you start seeing birds, the stars?
Nah, in the moment, you don't see nothing. Like
it's like
you
a
just you like blink out for a moment, and like you're back, and you're not. You know, your equilibrium
time slows down
off.
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Now COVID,
it's almost like a tunnel. Like you think like tunnel vision when you get choked out. When you get hit, it's just like a quick.
It is
like,
stars. It is
and
stars.
And you're like, oh shit.
It depends on where you get hit, too. If you get hit in the chin, like, it's just a blink out, and then you're back. But if you get hit, like, in the side
head,
of the head, back of the head, it's like
your
stars.
Equilibrium starts
it's like
fucking
a weird, bizarre, you know, like, different. Can I stop cranking around?
Now, do you think Colby's chin was, like, when he broke his jaw, I think that was hurting during the fight?
Fuck yeah.
He had so much adrenaline and...
It's like the Terminator, you know, like you have my CPU has.
It hurts, but it doesn't matter that it hurts.
Like
it hurts, but you're like, well.
I broke my hand in round one before and like was just like not throwing my right hand anymore. I didn't know why. I just didn't feel like throwing it. And it didn't like process that, hey, man, your hand is really injured. And I just
your body just took over and said like,
don't fucking
throw this.
My body was like, nah, don't throw that anymore.
Yeah.
But then it's funny because. Your consciousness can take over because my coach is like, what are you fucking doing? Throw your right
hand.
What
fight was this?
I can't remember. What was the Japanese dude I fought one time?
That one guy.
Sakuraba?
No, not Sakuraba. It was another guy. But anyway, but like the funny thing was is that my coach told me to throw my hand. I took over and threw it. So I just smashed up my hand even worse than it was. And, you know, you can overcome that. So I know that. Colby was doing like a lot of overcoming. You could see it. You could see it. He was doing at first when he first got injured. You could see that he was like kind of fighting different. Then he went back to fighting kind of normal again.
Wait, were you impressed by him at all? Or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like I said, you know, not to disparage the guys that it was like a sloppy kickboxing match, but when you got two high level wrestlers there, they don't exactly do kickboxing. It's like a hybrid form of kickboxing wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the card. I don't
it's
really even know that many guys on this card, which is crazy because it's a lot of Asian guys. And a lot of times when they have Asian cards, it's in Korea. They put a lot of Asian fighters.
This is like the only second time in Korea, right?
I think they've been here before. I know the Korean Wonder Boy, who they were saying was the next big thing, and then Cub Swanson spoiled that party. He kind of, I don't think exposed him, but they were like not as hype as he won as he was
Jung
before.
Jung Da-un.
I'll tell you, can
you put on the Bellator card this week? Because the Bellator card actually is pretty good as well. It's got Josh Barnett fighting.
Here we go.
Against Hani Marcus.
That's right.
I'm a big Josh Barnett fan. Barnett. And Marcus was in the PFL. This is a very winnable fight for Barnett.
Wasn't he in the UFC, Hani Marcus?
Yeah, he's been everywhere. Who do you like in that fight?
Barnett. I'm always Barnett guy.
Yeah.
Barnett also because he's training at CMMA with my boy Chad Savage George.
This guy Joey Davis never lost in college wrestling. He was a 4-time Division II national champion.
There's another Cisneros?
Yeah.
Is he related to Johnny Cisneros?
I don't know, but Joey Davis is the real deal. And they're not giving him much of a push, which is annoying because he was...
Yeah, this is that same dude, right?
He never lost.
They've never been... They just haven't promoted him at all.
At all. You'd think if a guy that never lost in college wrestling, a 4-time national champion...
Yeah, 4-time national champion, well, and it's like not D2. Like use it, D2, you know?
Still, you'd give him a push.
Like there was all this push for... Who's the kid?
Aaron Pico.
Aaron Pico, and it's like he didn't even get to college.
Look, Bellator is in a different category because they have a limited amount of time and budget to push out guys, you know? So they're just letting him win, like, do it on his own merit instead of, like, you know, like we were having the discussion at the beginning where Kobe is doing this crazy, you know, and they're pushing him for that reason. This guy is a hard worker, like, you know, is just winning fights. That's how he's pushing himself. So it's one of those things. You can't get... God, you want it both ways, bro. You want it both ways. You want a guy just to win on his merits, and you also want a guy...
No, I want a guy to win on his merits. I don't necessarily like...
To be pushed.
I don't like that Colby had to do that. I mean, granted, he did it on his own, but I don't like the fact that...
Like, you think the UFC should have seen the star that Colby was and pushed him?
The UFC drops the ball on so many... Because... For example, like I said, they have that guy that was on the that lost last weekend. The guy from Ian Heinisch.
Yeah.
They have a guy that got arrested for selling ecstasy and ended up in like a Spain prison. And
yeah, became captain. They don't want to push that narrative.
But now, and then he went to Rikers and then he got out. Now he didn't lose in this fight. It was very close. But that's a pretty damn crazy story.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be fabricated. That's really what happened. Fight. That's really, it wasn't like you made that up. This is really what happened, is this dude right here. I think there's a lot of things that they could be pushing on this. If we get Suarez on, the other Bellator card that's going on, because there's one on Saturday,
That one's on the New Year's?
Saturday. The next day. It's like, I don't understand.
What is Bellator doing? That's awesome.
But they have no...
Fights every
day. They don't tell anybody. This girl, Alima McFarland, 10-0, Hawaiian, beautiful. She's fighting Kate Jackson, who's, I think she made the Ultimate Fighter. She lost to Tatiana Suarez. This kid right here, Antonio McKee Jr.
AJ.
I know him really well.
15-0. You know his dad, right?
Yeah, I've been friends with him. I used to beat up little AJ McKee when he was like 8.
Really?
Yeah, he was such an annoying little bastard. And he was strong then. Like when I would wrestle him a little bit and just play with him.
Yeah.
And like now... Oh my God! He's
15-0. He just knocked out Georgi Karakanyan in like 13 seconds.
Yeah.
He's fighting Derek Campos, but Bellator should be putting much more into this kid because Antonio McKee Jr. is he's gonna probably win.
What
this.
Do you mean? He's he's like one of their biggest stars. If
you
not,
would never
the
know it. He could
you
walk into any Starbucks in America, and not one person will know who he is.
I'm pretty sure any Bellator fighter could walk into Starbucks in America.
Bellator doesn't
Roy Nelson
get...
But he's a UFC fighter. There's no Bellator freaking posters on Sunset Boulevard,
But, like, I agree with you that they could, like, do their promotions a little better because... I mean,
is that the guy from
the
Never
algorithms
Back Down?
That I'm hooked up into?
Yeah,
I never see any advertising for him. It's weird. Like you would think that like my YouTube feed would sometimes push me down the rabbit hole of Bellator, but it doesn't.
No,
like I never get any
ever.
Yeah, it's. Like,
I don't see it on Instagram.
They
I
gotta
never
like
see
get tighter
fights.
With Google or something.
By the way, the funniest. So Mayhem came and tried to help coach,
And
I tried to help.
No, you had help coach, and then you went up against our Chechen kid.
Oh my god!
Listen, our little Khabib.
He said, can we have a rematch today?
Let's roll.
I said, yeah. And then I was in the fight of my life. I didn't know. I was just like going light, trying to like give him a kid gives me a black eye and tries to tear my head off.
He was like trying to submit you.
I know. I was really impressed.
He's got some good little transitions too.
Was he close?
Oh my god, he was so close.
Really?
But you know, in the way that he's still a boy.
Yeah.
You know, so I like.
If there was no strength,
I was letting him work.
Yeah.
I was letting him work. I wanted to see what he had. And man, he's got the beginnings of a champ.
Yeah,
if he really wants to put the effort, but I mean, it sounds like this kid doesn't want to do nothing.
No. He just wants to put it on like Instagram and stuff.
Why? But, yeah. Well, see, I mean, you need to. I think maybe you need to foster that in him. That's why I like let him whoop my ass for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I was like, good. Get your Instagram jollies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get your Instagram. Go ahead, kid. I'm old now.
This me beating up mayhem.
I got no ego on it. You know what I
mean? Right.
So I let the kid, you know,
you don't
do some.
It'd be a bad
moves.
Look if you. I would think you're getting your butt kicked by a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, why? I mean, what do
come
I?
Come on.
Look, people call me a legend all the time. What do I have to prove? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a no-win situation.
Like,
if I go in there and beat the shit out of a 15-year-old, then what? Adam?
If a promotion is looking to sign you and they go, what's he up to? You're getting beat up by a 15-year-old.
If a promotion's looking to sign him.
Even better. They think I'm fucking terrible.
Mayhem is the guy that smiled through an ass whooping from George St. Pierre and laughed.
Yeah, come on.
And like, come on.
Yeah,
he's not getting beat up by
good.
14-year-old Chechen.
No, I was.
He was. I saw it with my own eyes.
I was there.
On Instagram?
No, I didn't see it on Instagram. So I was
see
there.
The Instagram
I don't
video.
Think he posted. I think he felt bad for you. Wait, you haven't?
I think I filmed some of it. He felt
bad for me. Perfect. I just wanted to see what he could do. Let him go to transition to different moves.
We got to wrap up. I don't know what happened to Tatiana Suarez.
Ah, well.
What do you got coming up, Tyler?
I got my 24-hour roll-a-thon tonight. It's going on right now. My buddy Clinton Harris is doing a 24-hour roll-a-thon to raise money for cancer. He's rolling 3 minutes on, 2 minutes off every 5 minutes
for 24 hours. I love this guy.
So it's like 288 rolls
I'm doing
like
a 24-second marathon. I roll for 24 seconds.
So I'll be at
I'll be at
10th Planet West LA from 10 to 2.
Yeah.
Last night, by the time this podcast goes out,
what now?
I'll be done with it.
Oh, I'll be done, yeah. And what do you got coming up?
Oh, man. You know, I'm just trying to survive.
Yeah. You're doing good.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm going to have some talks. Next year looks to be kind of big for me,
good.
Which is a nice refreshing change. I feel like, you know, and I appreciate you having me on the show all the time and us doing this because it's like a way for everyone to realize that, like, I'm not the madman that I was 5 years ago. And, you know, and so now opportunities are coming for me. And it's really, man, I love MMA. I love the community.
Everybody loves a comeback, man.
Oh, yeah. And look, I love coming back.
I will be in January. If you go to adamhunter.com, you can see all my dates. But I got it this Friday. I'm at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach at 9:45. And then the 28th, I'm at the Long Beach Laugh Factory as well. And the next year.
Oh, so you're in town. That's awesome. Good, man. The baby needs her at Christmas.
Very cool.
And then next year, I'm going to be at the, starting January, I'm at Portland at Harvey's Comedy Club.
Next year.
Portland, Oregon. And then also in the Reno Laugh Factory in Reno. So thank you guys so much. Take care. Have a great week.
Tuni sons to hook some dirt.
Yeah.
Tada stolt and dorpal the moro.